Oh, good morning. It's nice to be here, but you would expect me to say that, wouldn't you? You wouldn't expect me to say, oh, this is terrible. But it is great to be here. I want to thank Kate and Heather for their welcome, and to Ellen this morning. Ellen, I'm choosing $20 in my coat pocket if we have to have a way to go forward. Working in a team is important to me, and I look forward to working alongside Heather and Kate. As we creep out of COVID, whatever that would look like, and the future that God has prepared for us here at Camberwell. I've lived in a few different states. I've had various roles with the Salvation Army. I've experienced great triumphs, many failures. I've experienced grief and loss, but through it all, I've had one constant thing in my life, and it's Jesus. Ministry for me, if I had to put it down in three lines, which I have for your convenience, ministry for me is quite simple. You're either pointing people to Jesus, you're either growing to be more like Jesus, or you are literally going to be with Jesus. Now, if you're number three, hold off. It's very simple to me. People either know Jesus or they don't. If they do, they grow to become more like him. And then one day we get to be with him face to face, but not this morning. I want to share with you from Luke's Gospel some of the reading that Rick has just shared with us this morning. And I want to talk about faith, and I want to talk about doubt. And I think we hold these two things in tension more often than we probably choose to think of. You know, if we choose faith, it's Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, everything will be fine. But then on the other hand, we say, well, the doubt creeps in, and we sort of have this voice that says to us, oh, really? Everything's okay, is it? How's your faith working out for you? And I understand, like a lot of people, that the lure of being drawn into both of those things, both faith and doubt, are difficult, but they're also very real. And sometimes I just choose to hang on and cling to faith. But I'm reminded constantly that doubt lingers in the background. The reading that Rick read for us before reminds us that even though faith and doubt are at work, that God, by his presence and by his power, is still at work in the lives of people today. When Jesus finished saying all this to the people, he returned to Capernaum. And as at that time, the highly valued slave of a Roman officer was sick and near death. Some scriptures call it the centurion, the Roman officer. Pick your own adventure. But in the gospel reading this morning, we're reminded that faith can win, that there is a point to faith. Faith is not just to go to church on Sunday. Faith is to be lived out every other day of the week in who we are, either introducing people to Jesus, becoming more like Jesus. And so this Roman soldier has a question out of humility and of faith. He says, I want my slave to be healed. Now, Roman soldiers had a lot of clout. They were respected and equally feared, and they had great authority wherever they went. They commanded soldiers, maybe 80 or 100 soldiers, and they knew what power was like, because if they said, go there and do this, their soldiers went there and did that. In some ways, they were known as peacekeepers. Now, how's this for a PD? They were known as peacekeepers and executioners. I come in peace. However, if it doesn't work out, I have this other thing in my pocket. Faith and doubt, peace and death. So this centurion is the least likely to receive, perhaps, any measure of the grace that Jesus would offer through healing his servant. In fact, if you go back to Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, this is another encounter that takes place at Capernaum, a familiar place to all of us, and in actual fact, it's one of my favourite gospels, if not my favourite gospel at all. These four friends carry their friend who is a paralytic on the mat. You would know the story well. They try to get to Jesus, Capernaum, this same place. The crowds build. Jesus is teaching. They know and they have seen the work and the authority and the might of God at work through Jesus Christ. And they can't bring their friend to Jesus. So what do? As we would do, we would dig a hole in a roof right through the thatch and they would lower their friend to the feet of Jesus. Why is this important? Because we are reminded again that this is the place that they knew where things like this would happen. Mark chapter 2 says, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. Through the work of other people, this person, this man was healed in the name of Jesus. So we have faith for our own selves. We like to nurture our faith. We often talk about our faith, but then we think about the faith that we have for others. How do we help people to grow in their faith? How do we help people over the bridge through serious transformation? Have you ever heard of fathering? No, me either. So I made it up. Faith and others. See what I've done there? I actually had another one. It was a bit rude, so I won't share that one. But you have faith and others, and you have fatherers. We are fatherers. Grace for us, or faith for us, is not just a personal faith. It's that we will and we pray. We try to close the gap for other people that they too would know and see Jesus. Most of my ministry has been in inner city core, and with that comes various challenges. And it would often take place for me where I would get a phone call and they would say, are you the core officer? Yep, maybe. And they would say, so you've got to remember, so in Sydney, 5 million people live in Sydney. No masks. 5 million people. And someone will ring and say, do you know my son? Well, it's 5 million people live here. But it's out of pure desperation, a mother or a father or an uncle will ring. And so I'm praying for my son who is lost. Do you know him? And so for me, the story this morning in Luke's gospel is a reminder of desperation for another. That we are to win souls. That we are to transform lives. That we are to bring people to Jesus. You know, most gospel stories have four things. They have a place, they have people, they have a problem, but thank goodness there's also a path out. And we do spend a lot of time talking about the places. We often spend time, I mean, I'm new, I don't know, you probably don't talk about problems here. You might have no problems. Yeah? But there is a way out, and it's Jesus. When the officer heard about Jesus, this is a centurion, he sent some respected Jewish elders to ask him to come and heal his slave. So they, the Jewish elders, earnestly begged Jesus to help this man. If anyone deserves your help, he does, they said. He loves the Jewish people and he even built a synagogue for us. He has helped them. They need his help. He needs their help. Why? Because he's unwell. Did the slave or the servant ask for the help? No. But the faith of the centurion, which is on display for us all to see. You know, a Roman soldier goes out on a limb and says, go and get Jesus. That requires a huge degree of trust. It requires faith, it requires humility. Because he's a powerful figure who in that moment became vulnerable to those that he had authority over. And we know what that's like. We know what it's like to make ourselves vulnerable. We know what it's like to humble ourselves before God. And so that part of the story makes perfectly good sense. Someone had a need, someone else asked, and off he went. But then we read just a little bit further on that the centurion says, actually, no, change that. I'm not worthy. In a very short space of time, he displayed faith and he displayed doubt. Who's worthy? I used to get criticized, and I will here, it's all right. I used to love finishing the meeting with the song, Whosoever Will May Come. And people used to say to me, choose another song. And I'd say, go to college and you choose your own songs, you know. But whosoever will may come, because I believe that it's who we are. We're for the everybody. Yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. I bet they're not singing that out the back, but you know these songs because they mean something to us, that we are actually all worthy. And everyone that we meet and that we encounter is worthy. In fact, if you go to Matthew's gospel where John the Baptist says, you know, one coming greater than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. We are worthy. Every person we meet that comes through the door is worthy. Every interaction that we have. You know, I spent a majority of my ministry with Claire in the inner city. And I've met some of the nastiest, crooked, violent people that you would ever meet. People who bash for a living, people who steal, they do drugs, they consume copious amounts of alcohol, they can commit all the crimes necessary to go along with it. And yet we sing on a Sunday, whosoever will may come. And then we have these interactions with them, and I say, actually, this is nuts. It's crazy. And over time, we have seen people step into that void, step over that bridge to that place where they would say, I will explore this person who Jesus is that you keep talking about. And they have these moments where the light goes on and they say, Jesus could save me. That Jesus is for me. Jesus is my friend. And then, of course, there comes the faith. You can see it building. And then here comes doubt not far behind it. And then they start to list off, not worthy. And in my humanity, I think, actually, you're probably right. They start listing it off. But then, and these are words that are dear to me, penned by John Gowans, I believe in transformation. God can change the hearts of men and women all around the world and refine the evil nature till it glows with grace again. Others may reject the weakling, but I believe that he can be strong. To the family of Jesus, all God's children belong. Romans 5:20 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in that while not after, not before, not during, but while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Well, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that whoever believes in him, whoever, will not die but will live forever. You know, I've been reminded that where we are now or where we've come from is our past. And it's gone. Even where we are now is not where we belong. Because God is calling us to a preferred future down the track. And where we are going, it will not require strategic planning. It will not require drop charts. It will not require any of that. It will require changed hearts. Because Jesus says, come, follow me. And I will make you fishers of all people. You know, the centurion says, well, I'm still not worthy. We haven't addressed this issue. I'm still not worthy. But he says this. Just say the word. I'm not even worthy to come and meet you, he says. There's the doubt. And now it flips around the other way and the faith says, you just say the word and my servant will be healed. We're all worthy. We're all broken. We're all needed. You know, the faith gap that closes is very hard for a lot of people to overcome. But what we see is that this authority of Jesus, even the centurion observes it and says, you don't even need to come here. You say the word. Because he understood authority. Because as a centurion, you go over there, things would happen. You do that, that would happen. He said, Jesus, you are the one true authority. You say the word, and my servant will be healed. And underestimate when you read through the scriptures when Jesus is amazed. And may God continue to be amazed by the work and the ministry and the fathering that we will do for others. So you have a place, we have the people, we have the problem, and we have a path. And I, in my ministry, declare that the path is, always has been, Jesus. Why does it matter? I'll tell you why it matters. And maybe this comes out of my own personal story. Maybe it's my own bent on ministry. And I guess if I'm upfront about it, you'll know. And then you can judge me on that. But if we think about the community in which we work and we live, our families, our grandkids, our husbands, our wives, our aunties and uncles, that we have had great faith that one day they would experience his transformation. That people would experience the healing grace of God. You know, as we try and figure out what a post-COVID world looks like, one thing remains, is that we live by faith and doubt. But we choose faith. Christ is all. Yes, all in all, my Christ is all in all. Think about these words from verse 2. Around me in the world I see no joy that turns my soul from thee. Its honors fade and fall. But with thee, though I mount the cross, I count it gain to suffer loss, for thou art all in all. You know what loss is like? You know what triumph is like? You know what it's like when that celebration takes place, when one person surrenders their life to Jesus. And may we see people upon people, waves of people, experience that salvation for themselves. We're going to sing together, Christ is all. Sing into your masks. Sing as loud as you like. But let's be reminded when we get to this chorus that for us, that Christ is all. Not a part. Not a fragment, but the whole. Christ is all. Let's sing together. sing together verse 3. I need to strength. We think of this morning of our faith not only for ourselves but for others or in others. And Lord, we would pray that we would see transformation come, lives transformed because of the work and the ministry that we have partnered with you in this building, outside of this building, in our homes, our workplaces, wherever we may go. Lord, give us great faith to believe that you are still the one who changes the hearts of men and women. We declare today all these things in your mighty, ever-present, gentle yet powerful presence in our lives. And we pray this in your name. Amen.